Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Natalia is supposed to be a wife. I really believe it. You know, me and Danielle both felt right before we came on this trip that God's presence and his love and tell us that she was supposed to be a wife. So I'm moving forward in faith here.
Are you nervous?
Well, it's one of the biggest questions in my life to ask somebody.
Yeah.
It's not like you want a hamburger.
Were you nervous when you asked me?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You played it cool.
I did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got this.
Welcome back to another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry. Today we're talking Seeking Sister Wife, aka Yikes. Seeking Sister Yikes is really what we should call it. My God. Today, you know, I like to start off most to least boring. So today we're going to do Nyla and Naeem. And honestly, like, I don't know if they should have been on this show. But it does look like, given that we saw what seemed to be like a mid-season trailer at the end of the episode, I think maybe we have something cooking. But for now, I'm just a little bit like a little bored, okay? Well, like, because how many conversations can we have with Jamila, his mother? God bless her. Like, she's funny, but it's like, I get it, you know? Like, we've been through this now. So she's coming back, and this is like a scheme that Todd set up, okay? This is a situation where Jamila is very lucky. She does not know that she's lucky, but she is lucky. So she is supposed to be coming back to the house under false pretenses, okay? They were supposed to be surprising her with Keisha from Atlanta, if that's her real name, and just gonna ambush her mom. Just ambush Jamila, even though she made very clear over that watermelon special that she does not approve of this. She does not get it. It's nasty, whatever. So she got lucky. Nayla says that it's important that Jamila meets whoever is in their lives because they don't want their sister wives to be in a situation where they can't come to family functions because Jamila's uncomfortable with it. So Naeem, when she gets there, is like, Mom, today was supposed to be a dinner where you were going to meet Keisha. And she goes, oh, well, I guess I'm not having dinner. And they're like, well, you got your wish because she's not even here. She didn't come. And Jamila says, good. And then she says, you know, I came here to visit Naeem, and to my surprise, they didn't tell me that they were going to be introducing me to someone else, and I'm glad she didn't show up, because I didn't approve of that. I wasn't in agreement with it, so this really came out to my benefit. So then Nayla tells her how Keisha, like, gave them this whole fallacy, this whole fairy tale about how suddenly, when she was supposed to be in the air on the plane, she realized that she had all these things that she had to do. And so Jamila says, well, I guess you guys have to find a new mate, huh? And Nayla says, yeah, I suppose. It's just like complete passive-aggressive conversation between mother and daughter-in-law. So Jamila looks at them and says, well, warn me next time because I'm not even going to bother coming. And both of them say, well, just to inform you, we're actually just going to bring her anyway. We're not even going to give you any sort of heads up. And so Jamila says, y'all really be doing some crazy stuff. And actually, polygamy isn't even a thing in Islam. So then they're like, whoa, 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 where did you get that from? And she says, the polygamy that you guys are trying to do is not part of Islam. Because what the point is if you take on a second wife, you're supposed to also take on a second household for the wife. And they're like, no, 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 that's not true. And she goes, okay, well, where in the Quran does it say that you guys can live in the same home? Nayla says that technically what it says was that what you do for one wife, you do for the other. And she says in a confessional that the Quran says that you can have 2, 3, or 4 wives, but if it's not going to be fair and equitable amongst all of them, you should just keep the one, right? So Jamila, Mama, says, why do you want to have somebody in your house, the same house with you? And Nayla's like, well, why not? If everybody's okay with it, what's the issue, right? Jamila just shakes her head, and Naeem, the way he speaks to his mother, says, you could just shake your head till your neck turns right, because you're not going to be correct on that. Like, you're not going to be correct on what the Quran says. And granted, she does laugh, and, like, I totally get having a, like, jokey relationship with your mother, but, like, I would just never speak to my mom that way. Like, oh, you just shake your head till you're right. Jesus. Like, he talks to her like she's stupid. Like, you can crack jokes. But he just gets a little weird to me. Like, he's just a little disrespectful. Anyway. So, Naeem says, okay, Mom, are you really telling me that if things got serious, I brought them over to your house, or if I had them at my house, you're never going to come over here and vice versa? Like, they can't come over to your house? And she goes, as of now, yeah, that is what I'm telling you. And he says, well, how long does that take? She's like, I have no idea. We're not even going to go there, right? Like, I'm not going to negotiate with you. And that's really where we end with Naeem and Nayla and Jamila for this week. Secondly, we're going to move on to Joel, Osteen, and Slackjaw because, I mean, you know, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? So we're coming off of a rough day, okay, with the dating app stuff. Joel Osteen just barely, narrowly escaped that issue for the both of them, for Natalia and Slackjaw. But we're back on semi-solid ground, right? And he's like, you know, I think Natalia is willing to put things in the past and move forward. And, you know, maybe I can get my rocks off. I mean, a propose. Today. He wants to propose today. So Natalia comes down for breakfast and she asks Slackjaw again, can we have a little one-on-one conversation, right? And she says, you know, in a plural lifestyle, I think it's important that the sisters are committed because I don't think it'll work if they're not. Like, everything that's happened so far, all the hard moments, like, it's just important for her to know that I'm committed and that I do love and care for her. So Slackjaw gives her this necklace that Joel created in his little mind, in his little book, in his little doodles for all the future sister wives to come. And she says it's our commitment to each other, that we want to see the marriage succeed with Garrick, and like our commitment to each other before the Lord. So the phone comes out, you know, and Slackjaw's going on and on. I feel so much better since we were able to clear things up. Like, were you? Natalia says, you know, I had been a little worried about everything, but I think we're at the same point now. And so Slackjaw tells her, you know, I think there's so much more peace between us all. Like, do you still want to be part of our crazy family? And Natalia tells her, now I feel calmer and a little bit more confident about everything we talked about yesterday. You were able to clarify very well that I had been a little bit bothered about. And I think that on the whole, we will live in great harmony. So Slackjaw tells her, you know, I'm just so thankful that we were able to move past this and that you could forgive Garrick. And so I wanted to ask you, would you be my sister? And Natalia says yes, and the translator says, yes, I love you and want to join your family. And then Natalia says in English, best friends? And Slackjaw says, yes, I would like to give you something that Garrick created. And of course, this is, you know, she doesn't get anything that Roberta didn't get before. Same design, same necklace. It is another Garrick original, much like the engagement ring that he's about to give her, an infinity symbol, but it's got hearts intertwined. And I would not blame you, dear viewer, if you, like me, looked at that ring or the necklace and thought, oh, that looks like a vagina with a clit and a butthole. That's what it looked like to me. Okay? Slackjaw says that she's connecting with Natalia, but she's a lot different from Roberta. And that's okay, but she doesn't really feel like she's 100% committed as a sister. And she's trying to put those feelings aside and just trust that God has a plan and a purpose and things will work out. Which really begs the question, Slackjaw, why did you give her that necklace if you've got all those feelings? Also, I'm going to need you two to stop thinking that, like, we can just rinse and repeat Brazilian women and they're just going to be the exact same. I don't understand this idea. Like, why are we comparing? I know that, like, people come out of a relationship and they're like, oh, you know, like, I like these things about my ex and, you know, this was our relationship that I loved and I'm not getting that with the other one. And you do compare. But also, to me, this is just giving... why Brazilian woman not the same as the last one we got? And I think you guys are feeling that way too, right? Like, the fact that y'all won't even bother to learn Portuguese is very weird. But also, I want to know what happened in that bedroom, in Joel Osteen in Slackjaw's bedroom that night, the night before. Because you're saying, I've got all these hesitations, I don't think she's the same person. I'm trying to put all these feelings aside and just trust in the Lord. And all of this, like everything she does, every time they move forward, it's like, well, I really, really hate this, but I'm just trying to trust the process and Jesus and Garrick. And I just need women to like understand, listen to your body, babe. Listen to your body, 2024. Because Sister Wives last year, when Janelle and Cody got into that big ass fight about Christmas, and he was like, I'm leaving, that was like basically their divorce fight, that Janelle said afterwards that two things. She said, one, she, you know, listen, she's a busy woman, so she had to run some errands basically right after that scene. And she sat in the parking lot and felt this wave of relief. But then after the fact, she was telling Christine, I just like, I haven't seen that big sign that I should leave. Like, I'm waiting for that. And I'm like, babe, you in the parking lot having the biggest blowout with this man that you have been tethered to for decades and sitting in the parking lot and feeling a wave of relief that that relationship is over, not 30 minutes after it was over. That was your sign right there. Like the literal last word she said to that man was fuck you. And then 45 minutes later, she's feeling a world of peace. And like, you know, who can blame her? I'm just saying, girl, that was your sign. And Slackjaw, this is your sign. The whole like, I'm having to put every one of my feelings aside and just trust that this is going to be good in the future. Like, I don't think, like Natalia and the translator said, I don't think God wants you to live that way. I don't think God wants you this unhappy, Danielle. Anyway. So then she puts the vagina necklace on. It's like, oh, great. And then the weirdest thing happens. Why did Danielle go in for a kiss with Natalia? Like, trying to kiss her on the lips. And Natalia's like, no, 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 no. Actually, like, side-eye, like, subverts her face so that she doesn't make eye contact or lip contact. And then Natalia's looking at the camera like, did y'all see that shit? Like, what? And I'm like, girl, I did see that. What was that? So then she kind of is like, you know, I really like Danielle. She's a great person. You know, she was the one who kind of helped me make the decision to be in this kind of relationship. And then Danielle says, okay, girl, time to get changed because Garrick has something special planned. And I'm just wondering, like, okay, Natalia, you had all the sense in the world yesterday, last week. How did you go from, like, God doesn't want you this unhappy to, like, you're helping me now make this decision to continue to be in this relationship? How did we get there? Speaking of how did we get here, we have a Garrick Merrifield special, something we have never seen him before, actually attempting to practice Portuguese, only so that he can propose, just to get the, will you marry me, to make sure that she got it, right? Slackjaw is helping, if you can call it that, helping Natalia curl her hair. I don't know, it doesn't seem like her hair can hold a curl. It's neither here nor there, we'll move on. So Joel says, you know, I love her so much, and I hope she likes a ring, because she already said she doesn't like fancy stuff, which is maybe the only thing that I've heard him say, like a fact about her that he knows, that she doesn't like fancy stuff. Other than that, it's just been like, she looks so hot, and I can't wait to pump a baby in her. I just can't wait to give her a baby. But then he said, here we go, another conversation with God that Joel's managed to have, okay? I was praying a year ago on a mountaintop, and God spoke to me about a sweet rose being added to our family, and that would heal our family's heart and bring a calm and a peace to all of them. This man really, like, does he understand the concept of wind? Because it kind of seems like every time there's a breeze that blows by in an open garage or on top of a mountain, he seems to think he and God are having a whole good old kiki, just two Judies, and he's telling him all that he needs to know. And I'm just thinking, like, maybe we get our ears checked and maybe just have a real quick sit down with Garrick about the concept of wind as an actual scientific fact, because I think there might be some hairs getting crossed here. And you know what? Now that I think about it, like, Joel really is kind of like an Amelia Bedelia ass bitch. Like, he takes things a little too seriously. Like, you know, he thinks that, you know, that parable about the footsteps on the beach and, like, there was just one set because Jesus was carrying you. Like, you know, he thinks that's a real story. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just deeply concerned about it. Like, how has he made it this far in life, you know? So he also has 11 roses because he says it's special in Brazil. It doesn't seem like he knows why, but, you know, okay. He says that Natalia is going to be the 12th rose. And he says, you know, I really feel like Natalia is supposed to be a wife. And me and Danielle both felt God's presence and love. And she told us, he told us that she's supposed to be a wife. So I'm moving forward in faith here. Like, no, you're not. You're moving forward with your dick. Get real. So then we actually get more of Joel's love story, if you can call it that. They're backstory, we'll call it that, with Danielle. And he says that they were good friends at first, and then here we go. God talked to him again. The breeze blew. It was a windy day, wouldn't you know? Blustery. He says that they would, like, talk about and bond over the Bible, and how one time there was, like, a telephone session between Danielle, Garrick, and Jesus Christ himself, God, okay? And he was talking to God. God told him, ask Danielle what I told her. And then so he went to Danielle and said, hey, girl, what did God tell you? And she said, you know what? You know what? He told me that you're supposed to be my husband.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Like, can you imagine? Can you imagine? I'm trying to imagine, like, if Jake Gyllenhaal was to walk up to me and said, hey, God told me to come up to you and say that you had a message for me, what would that be? I would be like, oh, bitch. Let's start with that bank account, sir, and then let's get a ring on this finger and my name on the deed, okay? Can Oprah, can Jeff Bezos get a message from God and tell him Cara Berry wants to tell you something? Because I do. I got a couple things to say to Jeff Bezos. Girl, she took so advantage of that. She said yes, and she heard that. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about, but I will make something up immediately. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
So Joel just like went with it. Basically, he's like, you know, it was like a supernatural teleportation that wrapped us up in that moment, and I knew she was supposed to be my wife. What? So now Daniel's basically like his maid. He's going out to the balcony with a drink in his hand to calm his nerves. She's got this jug of 11 roses setting up a whole ambiance for him so he can have his little rest before he gets down on one knee. So she asks him like, oh, are you excited? And he's like, yeah, are you? No, oh, bitch. Daniel says in a confessional, God has given me a lot of moments like this where I've struggled and, you know, I've had like a really hard time moving on, but I feel like these trials really strengthen my faith in God and also with my relationship with Garrick. Girl, okay. If that's what you think, then fine. I'm not gonna fight you on it. So Natalia thinks that they're about to go to a restaurant. So she's looking at Danielle like, or at Garrick, like, are we going to eat? And he's like, no. And she genuinely looks confused. She's probably hungry. Like, it's 7 o'clock already. So then he's like, no, come look at this jug of 11 roses. You know, you're my number 12 and you complete everything, okay? And then he starts reading off his phone, like a speech in English off his phone. He's just standing there as he's like, you know, I'd be honored to have you by my side for the rest of my life with me and sister. And I love you and Danny with all my heart, and I'll strive to love and promote you both and put God first in our family and our kids. And while he's looking further down on his phone, because, you know, he's got a scroll, she's like, yeah, I want two kids. And then he kisses her and he starts to get down on both knees, but then I think he remembers it's just the one. And then he proposes in Portuguese. Did he give her the ring on the wrong hand? He would. So Slackjaw and Natalia's mom are waiting. They're like 5 feet away, the champagne and the champagne flutes. And, you know, Natalia says, you know, my heart is really beating. And I thought, are you really doing this? Because I didn't expect it. But I think we have a happy road ahead of us. So Natalia's mom finally gets a hot mic moment. She finally goes, you know, as a mother, I wouldn't choose this for myself, but I do respect her decision, you know, like, and I know that she knows what she's doing. So, you know, that's why it's not a problem for me. Like, what just matters is that she's happy. So Natalia then tells us, you know, we got a long road ahead of us, you know, like, but I do think we can make it. So now Slackjaw is pretending to just be thrilled and she's taking pictures of them. You know, he's kissing her, Natalia's cheek, and she says, you know, it feels good. It feels real good to be back here again. So, Jesus Christ. So now it's like the last night before they go back. And now we find out why he proposed, because there was one night for him to get his dick wet. And so he had one night only. He's a real dream girl. Garrick is a dream girl. So he's like, last night we're packing up. He's making sure I got as much time as I can. I'm using up every little moment while I have to film this scene with my wife, my ex-wife, to pack up and get everything ready so that I have all the time in the world when she leaves finally to, hello, oh no, sister, be back. That's what he's thinking. Poor Danielle is wrapped up in a blanket like E.T. in the front of that bike. She's like, oh, are you making sure everything's packed up so you don't have to do it in the morning? So you've got all the time in the world to be with Natalia? That's cool. What are you guys going to do tonight? And Joel's like, oh, you know, just like cuddling and kissing. She's like, okay, well, guess it's time for us to all go to sleep, right? And she's like, yeah, I'm so tired. So Natalia walks in. Slackjaw's sitting on the bed. Joel's on one side. Natalia comes in on the other. So she's basically, like, quite literally in the middle of them, right? She's like, yeah, so how are we doing, guys? You ready to go to bed? Natalia, do you need anything? No? Garrick, did you have a question for me? I thought you had a question for me earlier. Did you have one? Did you? Because maybe it was that I had something to say to you. What would that thing have been? Ooh, it's really going to take me a while to think about this. Might be all night. Ooh, and I'm so tired. I'm going to go to sleep right now. I'm just going to pass out right in the middle of this bed. Oh, hee-haw, hee-haw. She's having such a hard time with this. So she says in a confessional, you know, it's almost like you have to detach yourself. It's like a whole new relationship. Like, it's like watching your best friend out there proposing to someone else. It's weird, you know? It's different. It's exciting. It's a weird feeling for sure. Can't describe it. Can't describe that at all. So she kisses Slack. Sorry, she kisses Joel and she's like, I love you. And she hugs Natalia and it's like, gets up off that bed real slow. Like, okay, gonna walk out now with my left foot and the right. I'm gonna do the left again. Just gonna keep walking. Okay, have fun. Sleeping, you too. Just sleeping. Okay, I'm gonna just. Do you want me to close the door? Okay. Right now? You want me to close it now? Okay. So, oh, did I forget something? No, I think I forgot my phone. Okay, I'm gonna go. You guys are gonna go to sleep right now, right? Okay, I'm gonna try not to cry. Bye! Oh, so before we move on to the next two little freaks, let me tell you about the Merrifields Instagram Live. So it was just Danielle this week. Garrick made sure to have his migraine earlier in the morning so that he could pretend to be very tired from said migraine that evening, right? So he tapped out this week. We got Danielle, who is honestly like a little bit more, I think, you know, once she's free from her captor, you know, like we see her in her confessionals, she's a little bit more honest, a little bit more forthcoming with her true feelings about things. But one thing that is so funny about her is that she's like, I told you guys last week, not very good at social media and lying. She's also not very good at that. So it's funny. She starts off by saying that nobody asked her any questions because last week she got a little bit upset because she clearly wanted to comb through the questions beforehand, but she didn't take into consideration that this was a live video in which people were going to be submitting questions in real time. And then she's like, you guys, I asked you for these questions beforehand. You're asking them now. And it's like, clearly like, I don't have time to clean this answer up, you know? So she got a little bit annoyed. So this week she claims that nobody asked her any questions, which is, girl, like, get real. So she's reading through the comments because she's really trying to have to like wing it. And this was so very funny. She's reading the questions. And one of the questions is like, Danielle, why is it okay for Garrick to continuously have sex before marriage? And instead of answering it, she just starts coughing. And then she goes on to the next question. So imagine it like this. Imagine me, Danielle, reading Instagram questions. Danielle, why do you let Garrick have sex before marriage? Do you get embarrassed seeing yourself on TV? You know what? I do. I really don't like it. Like, it's really embarrassing for me. And, you know, and then she's like really trying to like tap dance her way through this answer as though the bombshell wasn't just dropped and she just didn't read it aloud to all of us. So then she talks about how much she doesn't like to watch herself being filmed, which I'm like, yeah, well, whatever, right? But then she drops the fact that the infamous meltdown video that Garrick took of her once they found out that Roberta had officially scammed them and was not going to be coming to America, where she's like, oh, why did you do this to me, sister? Now Garrick submitted that to the production without her knowledge. She didn't know until it was aired on television. The man does her so dirty,
Every time.
Obviously, she can't answer any questions about, you know, Natalia and the state of their relationship and, like, the state of any potential relationships coming up. But we saw in the preview that they're already courting somebody, and it sounds like things went to shit with Natalia pretty much immediately after they went to America. So, you know, wow, what a surprise. And then somebody asked her the question of, you know, like, why do you do this when we very obviously see that you're upset? And she's just, you know, it's a lot of Christian platitudes. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm so happy. I'm so blessed. I've never been happier. I couldn't be thrilled. No, I'm not bisexual, you guys, but I'm so, so happy. And just like, oh, somebody asked her, have you ever thought about leaving? And she, girl, don't even say this, because you said in an episode, like, episode 2 or something, that you had thought about actually leaving this dude on multiple occasions, like a true divorce, not just the one that you got so that he could spread it low and lay it out wide, you know. She said in the live that she had only thought about really divorcing him or leaving him in, like, the early years. Like, they got married when she was 19, and she's like, oh, you know, like, I only thought about it in the beginning, and then some blah 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 about, like, you know, we made it through the years and it was so worth it, you know, I couldn't imagine my life without him. It's like, girl, that can't possibly be true. Okay, you guys, let's move on to Ashley and Shane. So it's happening. Shane is finally going to meet Sarah for the first time. And by finally, I mean, this is literally the second date that Ashley and Sarah are going on, and she's already meeting Shane. Shane says he has more of a guard up. Who's to be surprised, because Grace the Vegan tore his ass up, okay? And so Ashley's asking him, like, oh, are you nervous? And he's like, oh, you know, of course, but, you know, if you feel more confident, then I'm happy. Ashley says in a confessional that it does feel really good with Sarah. Like, they have a lot in common. She's beautiful. But she's really not sure if, like, Shane and Sarah are going to have that same chemistry. Because if they don't, that's basically a deal breaker, right? So then Ashley asks Shane, like, how are you going to feel if I kiss her, if I hold her hands? Like, how are you going to feel? Are you going to be jealous? And he says, yeah, like, even if you hold hands, I'm going to feel jealous. So then Shane says that Ashley told him about the first kiss, right? But he's never seen that happen, but he has thought about it. Probably a lot. Most likely while he's crying. I should not have been surprised at all that they met at mini golf. Like, what I'm surprised about, actually, is that they didn't have some sort of Facebook-related competition league for it. Like, shocking. Sarah comes in. She's ready to go. Ready with the sexual innuendos, like, oh, let's grab some balls. I'm ready for it. She's laughing real hard. Nobody else does. Nobody else does. Sarah says, my first impression of Shane is that he seems like average guy, you know, like dad bod, you know, really easygoing. And then she laughs again. Like, she's not attracted to him. Like, I think if this was, like, the situation she's usually into, she'd be like, oh, no, I'm not here for this. So Sarah mentions having been there to that mini golf place with her son before. She's got, like, an 8-year-old son. And Shane's like, oh, cool. Have you thought about having more kids? And Sarah's bantering back at him, like, oh, like, take me out to dinner first, you know? Mini golf's not going to cut it. So Shane actually does let out a chuckle. And he tells us, this is actually the kind of girl that Ashley sold me on, who she told me she was. Like, she seems like she's got a good head on her shoulders. Like, we're having a good time for now, right? Ashley and Sarah start getting a little bit close, and typical, like, oh, I'm going to help you, you know, with your form. And so Ashley tells her, like, oh, like, they're getting close, right? Like, oh, you smell good. And Shane's just standing there, like, 3 feet away. Just like, what's going on? Sarah's still with the innuendos. Oh, you gonna put things in the hole? Yeah, you want to do that? And Ashley's like, oh yeah. Do you have the same hole goals? What are your hole goals? My hole goals are the same. And so Shane's like, okay, well, guess I'm the third wheel now, huh? Ashley says in a confessional that, like, the physical and sexual attraction between her and Sarah is there. So she's just not questioning anything. Shane could be gone. Shane, can you leave? Please leave. There's definitely more sexual attraction between Ashley and Sarah than we've seen between Shane and Ashley. combined. And she's pregnant with his second child, so, you know.
Poor Sarah says in a confessional, I feel comfortable flirting with Shane around, and I think he wants to see that. Like, I think he wants for Ashley to feel wanted and welcomed and loved. Like, yeah, in theory, but in practice, I think it's a little bit different, babe. So they sit down for a drink, and he wants to know, like, what did you like about, what about Ashley Sarah liked? And she's like, oh, you know, like, we got along, we had a great kiss. Ashley grabs her hand while they're talking. Shane says, so are you vegan? When she goes, no, he goes, oh, great. Whew. So Shane asks Sarah, what's your situation? Like, have you ever been in a dynamic like this? And she's like, well, you know, not so much sister wives, but I have dated couples before. And so Shane is like, well, have any of them been long term? And she's like, well, it's been more like a friends with benefits slash dating situation. So now we're done. Shane says in a confessional, when you mention polygamy, people think that everyone just goes around hooking up with multiple partners with no structure or hierarchy. And that's not what we're looking for. So that's a red flag for me that maybe she's just looking to date us. Shane, just last week, you were wearing an upside down pineapple shirt. And we all know what that means. So doesn't that, I mean, like, I know that, like, swingers have some kind of structure, whatever's going on there. You know, we all make our own rules in life, but let's not, I mean, I feel like you guys are very confused as to what the rules are within your own situation. And he's just creating red flags when he doesn't feel like he wants to continue, which is basically immediately after he meets the woman that Ashley's interested in. So, you know. Also, phrasing your relationship as, like, having a structure or a hierarchy, like, ew, I'm out. So Sarah says, it's more like, in her past situations, like, if they're all out together, they'll act like they're together, but it's not an everyday thing. They're not talking every day or even every other day. It's like more like an every couple months kind of situation. Like, they're just banging it out, right? Like, when everybody's got the time and the schedules are together, they're just hooking up. I mean, that's clear. Totally chill. That's clear. Ashley starts getting real uncomfortable, right? She says in a confessional that Shane's coming on a little too strong because it's only, you know, the second date. They've only known each other for about 35 minutes, if that. Shane's a really harsh critic with the girls that she sees, so it's bad. So Ashley's like, let me drive the boat here a little bit. Sarah, what are you looking for? You know, so Shane says in a confessional, I came on strong today because we're people who live in the moment and you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. Honestly, we're just fast movers. And I feel like now's the time we need to move fast with everything we've got going on. What? I mean, I'm not even going to ask you what you mean by everything you've got going on because I see it almost coming out of Ashley's body and beginning a new life on this earth. You think that now is the time to press the gas on locking down a permanent relationship because you're about to have a baby, the most permanent relationship of all. Shane, does that make sense to you? Or is this just another thing that you're, like, making a problem? So Shane is, like, just very corporate about everything. He's saying to Sarah, I don't know if I want to say that I'm confused, but it does sound like maybe you're not looking for the same thing that we're looking for. Like, we're looking for somebody in a relationship sense. And Sarah says, cool, but you asked me about what I had done in the past, which is actually different from asking me what I'm going to do in the future. Uh-oh, got his ass. Got him. So then Ashley says, okay, well, what are you looking for? And Sarah says, I'm looking to try different things because I'm 28. And obviously everything I've done in the past hasn't worked for me. So I'm just trying something different. Then Sarah tells us in a confessional that obviously she knows that Shane wants to protect Ashley. Totally fair. But at the same time, she thinks it's like maybe a little bit too soon to make a determination on whether or not their relationship is going to be reality like right now. So Shane says, okay, well, what I can tell you is that Ashley and I move very quickly and we've just had such bad luck for the last couple of years. And I'm like, gee, I wonder why, Shane. And then he goes, you know, Ashley likes you, but it's tougher when you get deep into something.
and realize that that person isn't who they thought. Are you able to leave that other life of dating other couples to be with us? Or... And so Ashley says, do you think that, like, what do you think? Like, would you, what would you look for? Or the, what would you look for in the right family to be able to shut those casual encounter doors? And so Sarah tells him, like, I'm not going to lie to you guys. My walls are up and they're up pretty high. So it is going to take, like, a little bit of time to break those down and let the relationship grow more. Like, I don't know, maybe we could play another round of mini golf. Maybe I'll think about it after that. You know, like, obviously I just met you guys, so I can't really say for sure. Ashley says in a confessional, I just feel like Shane drilled her, like, with these hard and deep questions, and it's hard to find somebody open to our dynamic, but Sarah's been invited into, like, plural dynamics in one way or the other, so hopefully she's ready for that next step, right? So then Shane goes, okay, well, it sounds like what you guys had is a great first date, and I want that to continue and just make sure everybody's in the right space. So Sarah goes, okay, so do you guys want somebody more interactive? Shane goes, well, what we want is somebody who's not around just every other month. And she goes, okay, like, I'm down. So Ashley said, or Sarah says, like, I'm happy to hang out because it seems like Shane's not in the best mindset, you know, maybe because of the last girl. Ashley says she's still feeling pretty good about Sarah. And she's like, listen, I met Shane. I was very aware of what we were looking for. Like, I feel good about things on our end. With Sarah, I've got a lot of chemistry. So on the drive back, Ashley asks Shane how he thinks things went. And he's like, well, you know, Sarah did seem willing to try, but, like, not really that committal. So Shane says, you know, Ashley was really excited about Sarah, but I definitely have a few concerns because she's not ready for this type of relationship. Like, it's kind of like she's looking to learn, but if you asked her to jump in, she wouldn't. And that's a little bit upsetting because if she, like, might be leading Ashley on a little bit and she's going to get hurt. Again, I'm, like, really confused as to why he thinks now is the best possible time to move this relationship into hyperspeed. It does not make any sense, Shane. And I think you know that. And I think, again, like I said, you're just creating a different problem because you're like, oh, Ashley actually likes this girl and I think she wants to smash her. So now I have to make it seem like because she had casual sexual relationships in her past as a 20-something woman that she couldn't possibly be ready for a long-term relationship. Shane needs to be worried about getting his diaper genie ready, okay? Get a pamper. Build a crib, sir. Put a rush order on that. All right, you guys. Oh, Lord. We have to be complicit again. I'm so sorry. We got to end this talking about Tenacious B, the most tenacious Becky of all time. And Justin, inmates number 74312 and 71343. I'm not sure if they separate them by the sexes, but that I'm just going to go with that one. Just general booking, right? So last we left, if you guys don't forget, and if you didn't forget, I can't imagine that you did, seared into my memory, this crime that we watched. Becky hopped up out of that pickup truck to go over to Stephanie's house, knock on her door, press her ring, not once but twice, to be like, hey girl, just came from a quick 12-hour road trip and a detour down at the Orange Theory to renew your membership. You're welcome on that. Just wondering why you haven't picked up our phone calls or answered our text messages. And you also said that you didn't want to see us. Why is that? Why is that? They're in Colorado from Texas.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card,
Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Becky says that it's hard to say who Stephanie's more important to, but she'd have to say Justin. And I kind of feel, Becky, that the fact that you're saying that makes it seem like, to me, that it might not be true. I think maybe Stephanie means a lot to you, a lot more than you're willing to admit. But unfortunately, television tells the truth sometimes. And you know what else that television told us, you guys? That the screen told us that Stephanie nor Greg Sames are actually Stephanie or Greg. And that also the voices that we're about to hear are not Stephanie's actual voice. Who's Greg? We haven't talked about Greg at this point. Whew, take a breath. Take a stretch. Take a little walk around. We got to get into this. So we hear Becky at the door say, "Hey," to Stephanie. And Stephanie, or whoever's voice this is, the actress, "Why did you guys drive all the way down here?" And Becky says, "Because that was the plan. I mean, you said you were off on Monday and Tuesday and that you wanted to see Justin." And so Stephanie, if that's her real name, and we know it isn't now, says, "I told Justin not to come." And Becky says, "Yeah, but you've been saying that you wanted to see him all this time. That's something that needs to be talked about." Becky, what are you talking about? So Stephanie tells Becky, "Greg is who I want to be with." And Becky goes, "How did that happen?" "You hung up with Justin yesterday saying, 'I love you, babe.'" And Stephanie says, "I just can't do this." And Becky says, "You don't love us anymore at all?" I'm like, oh my God, Becky, like, this was already batshit. And we're turning it up to 11. So Stephanie says, "Well, I love you and I want to have a friendship with you, but I want to be with Greg. And Greg's here right now." And so Becky goes, "Is he listening?" And so Stephanie has to be like, "No. Like, he probably is. He's probably on the line with 911. He's probably pressed 9-1 already and just hovering over the second one." So Justin tells us in a confessional he can't hear anything. It's pouring out rain. He's in the car. So he has no idea what's going on. But what he can tell is that it is not going the way he wanted it to go, they wanted to go. And he's like sitting there feeling helpless because he doesn't want to go out and make the situation worse. That is the only wise thing that Justin has said and will say so far. So Becky's now, like, popping off, like, "Don't you think it's unfair to be in a relationship for 9 months and not say, 'Hey, I'm switching relationships right now?' That's not fair to do to me." And Stephanie's like, "I've always loved Greg. You guys know that." And so Becky goes, "No, you told us you did not like him sexually at all. When we started the relationship, we wanted to make sure of that. Were you with him in January when you broke up with us then?" And Stephanie goes, "Greg and I have been on and off." And Becky goes, "Oh, so you were with him." The fuck? So Stephanie has to be like, "That's none of your business." And Becky goes, "So did you have sex with him before you had sex with Justin?" And Stephanie has to be like, "That's none of your business." And Becky goes, "I need to know because I need to go get tested now because of you." So Becky goes back to the car, slams the door. Justin's like, "What did she say?" She goes, "You don't want to know. Worst case scenario." Actually, Becky, not worst case scenario, because your ass should be locked up right now for unruly behavior, stalking, harassment. So actually, the fact that you're getting to drive away and getting to make money filming off a scene is the best case scenario for this situation. So Becky tells the cameras, like, to the confessional, that Stephanie was not happy to see me, but she told me she was having a relationship with a friend that she had told us about that was her best friend and supposedly just a friend, but she obviously made her final decision because she kept telling me, I want to be with him, I want to be with him, I want to be with him, and I was blindsided by that. She's like dead ass. So Justin asks her, what did she say? And Becky goes, well, she could tell you herself. I don't want to do your dirty work. Bitch. Ooh, see, that is so fucking annoying. I drove your ass, your nutty ass, 12 hours. You made me sit out here in the truck in the rain. I ask you a very normal question of what went on, because clearly y'all got into it. And your response is, I'm not doing her dirty work. You can't just tell me what she said. Get out of the car. You know what? Find your own way home, okay? I mean, truly, like, there's nothing more annoying to me than somebody who breadcrumbs information that they clearly should be giving me and then they don't want to give it. Like, it really irks me. But, like, get fucking real. Because what is she going to be doing? Fucking stewing there in the passenger seat. And what? We're just going to be sitting there in silence for 12 hours? While you don't... You have all of this information that you're just not going to tell me? Because it's... Get out of the car. And then she even gets crazier. She goes, but she did say that she still wants to be friends with me. I will tell you that. Becky is smiling so big. Like, honestly, if the cameras were not there, I would have been like, did she change her clothes regularly? Check her hands for defense wounds. Because what went down there, okay? She goes, we loved her and thought she was perfect for us. We thought. And this was life-changing information. And I wonder if we're ever going to speak to her again. But, you know... Of course, I don't want to say, like, never, but it is hard to walk away. So then Becky's crying now about how hard it would be to not be friends with her, but I need somebody. She's telling this to Justin. I need someone. This woman is alone, okay? Justin says, okay, well, since it's a 12-hour drive back, we're just going to get a hotel, which is... the whole reason why you said you were going there in the first place, because you already booked a hotel, but okay. But then they're like, well, we're just going to hang out and see what our deal is. No, what is your deal? What is your deal? So Becky asks Justin what he thinks, and he goes, well, what did she say? Like, how am I supposed to give you my opinion? I don't know. So Becky goes, well, I just feel like she should be the one to tell you, since you were the one she was in a relationship with. And he goes, well, she's not going to tell me, so what is it? And so Becky's like, okay, well, basically, she decided that she wanted to be with the best friend. And he was there. And so Justin goes, oh, she's been with another guy. I tried to push that in the back of my mind for 6 months that she wasn't with somebody else when she would ghost us for, like, days or weeks at a time. And the 20-year-old me would have been like, I'm going to the house and I'm going to whoop his ass. But obviously the old man in me is pretty helpless. And I feel terrible. You. Okay. Justin. I'm laughing because I'm uncomfortable. This is not funny. This is weird. Like, this is exceptionally weird. Like, what's happening? Even. Wow. This is weird. Oh my God. So then we find out that, remember last week they told us that Stephanie had this friend that had given her an ultimatum and was like, if you choose them and this lifestyle, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. Apparently that friend was Greg. So Justin says, you know, I still love her, but it's not reciprocated. So Justin says, when somebody promises to be with you until you died and says, I was so blindly in love with her that I made those same promises. I made the same promises that I did with Becky. So it's like super sad. And I suppose it just hasn't hit me all the way yet. And I don't want to mess with her. And Becky's like, yeah, you're right. So Justin goes, okay, well, we should just go home and ask God to get rid of the depression storm that we have.
Okay, and how about any pending charges that you might be having coming up too? Okay, amen. Thank you guys so much for listening. I don't even know what to say. Thank me for speaking. Hope we're not all implicated. Love you. Bye.